Welcome to another amazing, exciting, awesome, stupendous, action-packed, death-defying episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am a pro wrestling podcaster. I am a wrestling fan, but most importantly, I'm a stand-up comedian. If you are in the area, Bay Area, California Bay Area here, on August 31st, come check me out at the San Jose Improv. I just got booked for that. I'm pretty excited. I haven't been to the Improv in probably like 2 years, so I'm excited about that. Welcome to the show, everybody. I have a good friend with me here. He's a friend of the show. He's been on the show, this is like a third or fourth appearance. Give it up for Xavier from 40 Winters. How you doing, Xavier?
I'm doing great, man.
Doing awesome. Great. How are you? I'm doing fantastic, man. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. It's always a pleasure. Always a fun time.
I always enjoy talking wrestling with you.
It's always good getting those two opinions clashing. Or sometimes on the same page. I like it.
Definitely. Before we go into your stuff, Pro Wrestling Nation can be found every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, the TuneIn Radio app, RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course, Gerwick.net, GERWECK, Gerwick.net, your number one source of pro wrestling since 1897. Let's see, what else? Oh, head over to Pro Wrestling Tees, because right now they're doing a sale. Everything is 20% off. So if you go to Pro Wrestling Tees, Pro Wrestling Nation, you can get a t-shirt, awesome t-shirt for 20% off, coupon code America, I think it's all caps. I put it up on the Facebook page, so if you need any extra information, go check out the Facebook page. And other than that, yeah, I think we're all set. So, Mr. Xavier, how's it going today?
Dude, life is good, man. Life is good. I'm on cloud nine. Everything's good over here.
Dude, so 40 Winters, how long have you guys been doing the whole band scene?
Too long, man. Figure the idea has been going for like a decade, but this lineup together has been since like 2011, 2012. So we like to figure a good few years together doing the whole damn thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I've had you on before, but I don't think I've ever asked you where the name comes from, 40 Winters.
The name comes from Shakespeare. It's his sonnet number 2. And the first line is, when 40 winters shall besiege thy brow, dig deep trenches in thine sunken eyes.
Sweet. You know what? I think I might have asked that because that does sound familiar.
Does it? I mean, I don't know if I've said it. You might be right, though. I don't think I've ever, we've never touched base on that. But yeah, we had a faux name, and I don't know. I just read that, and I was like, oh, that's it. It's
stuck. What did you guys call yourself beforehand?
I was called Forever Scorn. That was our first name.
Oh, nice. I like 40 Winters a lot better, though. I definitely do.
Me too, man. It was the worst. But yeah, we were just young and just didn't know what the hell we were doing. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, you know, we're all still learning. We're constantly learning, man. You know, I bet you're still learning new things every single day.
Absolutely, man. And I try. Well, I definitely try, you know.
So you guys are having a new album coming out. What is it, July? I don't remember the release date.
July 22nd.
Okay, July 22nd. What's the album called?
The album is called Rotting Empire.
Rotting Empire. That's pretty dope, man. How long does it take you guys to like say, okay, we're going to do a new album, we're going to start the writing process, and then we're going to hit the studio? How long does the whole process take?
Ooh, it's always, man, it's always up in the air. Life likes to throw things at you. This whole cycle took like a year in total. We tracked it last year. We got offered like 3 or 4 tours in between all that, so we had to keep putting it on hold, going on tour, coming back. You know, you're waiting on this, you're waiting on that. It's literally a perpetual waiting game. But ballpark, it took us a year, so it was a year in the making.
Well, congratulations, man. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, we're very happy.
What's it like for you, being this kind of this far into the game since, you know, where you began, since the days of Forever Scorn?
It's weird, man, because it's like the same rush, you know, it's the same spark, it's that same like excitement of, oh shit, a record's coming out. Every album cycle is so special, super personal, you know. We try to, this time we moved into a house together, we wrote it, we pre-recorded it, you know, just throw ideas, see if it sticks, you know, and just create, and then you have to do all the press. and all the media, and it's fun, man. It doesn't stop being fun, and it doesn't stop being exciting, so it's awesome.
Wow, so you guys all moved into a house together. It's funny because when I asked you about the time it takes to do an album, I thought about my favorite band is Korn, and
Oh, yeah.
A few years back, maybe about 10 years ago, maybe more, no, it was like 99 or something, because it was when Issues came out. They all got a house together somewhere, I think in Arizona or something, just far, mm-hmm. far away from everything that they, you know, their whole lives. And their whole intent was to go out there, get away from the world, and just get their stuff out, do an album, and just, you know, knock it out. And they ended up partying for like 2 years before they even began working on the album.
Yeah, man, I think I've read that. It's so awesome. Yeah, and it's kind of the same appeal. Like, we're big Slipknot fans, and Slipknot, when they did their third record, they moved into the Houdini Mansion. So we kind of wanted to, yeah, so, you know, for us, we wanted to kind of tap into that, and we're like, dude, let's just do it.
So are any of you guys...
Well, you know, we'll just write.
Okay. Are any of you guys, like, married with families or anything?
No, nobody's married. Nobody's married yet, so... Luckily, we have a little bit of an upper hand on that.
Yeah, it's a little easier to get away when there's no family or wife at home waiting for you.
Exactly. My girlfriend lives at home.
It was? What's that?
So it's, we're already used to it. My girlfriend lives in Oklahoma, so we're like, we're already used to like the distance, and it just works. So it works.
Where was the house located? Was it in, I think you live in the Boston area, right?
You're in Chicago.
Florida. Oh, man, I'm just all over the place. So was the house located in that area?
Yeah, it was in Coral Springs in our native city. That's cool.
For some reason, I was thinking that you guys are kind of like spread out to the country, the band members.
No, luckily, you know, we're all from South Florida. We all live relatively close to each other, like 10, 20 minutes apart. And, yeah, it just worked, man. Like, you know, we just... kind of wanted to get to work. Like, that was the thing. We were living our normal life too hard, and we were like, dude, pump the brakes, let's just do it. And like you said, like, get away from everything. Like, we weren't leaving that house, man. We were cooking, you know, we were drinking, writing, just nonstop. So it was awesome.
Do you guys have 9-to-5s, or is the band kind of a full-time gig?
No, we definitely all have day jobs.
So how did that work out with moving out of the area?
It sucks, but yeah, man, in the same... it was cool because, you know, we just took off. We just stopped working, you know, like, believe it or not. Yeah, we just stopped. We took a few months off from our normal lives, and it was literally 24/7. Like, if we weren't practicing, we were writing. If we weren't on the chalkboards, well, it's not chalk anymore.
It's all digital now.
Dry erase boards. And we were on the top. Yeah, dude, it's that. And we did have dry erase boards, though. We still wanted to have that old school feel. So we had dry erase boards around the whole house. And, you know, we'd write our ideas down. And, yeah, digitally we were tracking, you know, guitar riffs and, you know, drum fills. And so it was definitely, it was interesting, man. We've never done that for a release. So we really went all in.
So is there anything different about your vocals? Because you're the vocalist of this band. From where you started to kind of where you evolved to now, and is there like different techniques you take and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because it all comes back to wrestling. I grew up on wrestling. My grandfather showed me wrestling at a young age. You know, you grow up on the Macho Man, the flamboyant, the gimmick, the presentation. Like, it took me a long time to just like kind of break into my own skin. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, gimmick. Yeah.
You know, because it's like we're entertaining people. So it definitely took me a long time to like find my character. And same thing with technique, man. It's just years and years and years of trial and error and learning your craft. But yeah, I think, you know, the longer I do it, the better, obviously, like, I feel like I have like an upper hand on it. But like you said, I'm always learning. I'm always open to new techniques, new warm-ups, new exercises, and, you know, new routines to kind of like take care of myself after the fact.
Definitely. You know, that's one thing that I think kind of, it kind of hurts me in the comedy world, because I do stand-up comedy, and I've never really been able to, like, quote-unquote, get into gimmick. You know, I'm always just myself, and I wear myself on my sleeve, and a lot of people like that, but at the same time, I feel, like, a little bit self-conscious, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, with comedy, you know, every time, especially a big stage. I mean, not probably not as big as you guys' stages, but like some of the improv, for example, you know, 500 people in the place, and I'm behind the curtain, and I know I'm next, and the comic is finishing up, and the host is out there introducing me, and I have, no matter if I do it one time, 100 times, a million times, I have butterflies in my stomach, and I'm just like, holy shit, what am I doing? What am I getting myself into? Do you guys ever feel like this before, you know, a big show?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Every time, dude, and you know, just how you said, like, that just shows how passionate you are about, you know, comedy and how much you love, you know, doing what you do. Like, if those butterflies don't come, then you should just not do it, you know? I get nervous every time. I get jittery. I freak out. But as soon as that first note hits, like, I'm comfortable, you know? I'm where I'm supposed to be. But yeah, I definitely get nervous every single time.
It's funny you say that, because when I go out there and I just start telling my jokes and I hear people laughing, I just totally get into my comfort zone too. And the nervousness, it doesn't go away, but it definitely subsides, and I'm able to you know, do well. Like, I've had shows where I'm like, oh man, I was so nervous up there, and people are like, really? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, that's the best. When people can't tell that you're, like, eating shit in your own mind, like, you know, they're like, yeah, you did fine. I'm like, dude, I was freaking out, you know, like, it was brutal. But, yeah, it's magic, dude. It's art, you know, so it's cool.
Here's something else, a comparison to comedy. When I'm on stage, I've developed, I don't even know how to describe it, but I've developed a way to kind of coach myself in my head as I'm going, and it feels, when I'm doing it, it feels like it's like minutes, but it's actually like seconds, and it feels like it's taking so long, but it's just the quickest little thing. I'm like, okay, do this, say this, okay, maybe try this, go this, and somehow I'm talking out loud, but I'm also talking to myself in my head. Being a singer, I mean, is that something that you go through as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if I'm dealing with like an injury or just if I'm like feeling weird or off, yeah, like I definitely have to, like, you know, kind of coach myself and be like, all right, dude, like, just kind of, you know, get through it, you know, party through it, whatever, or like, that's not normal, you know. And yeah, I definitely have to kind of like jump out, you know, of my own brain, I guess.
So tell us a little bit. Let's talk about the album. I'm sorry.
No, you're cool.
You kind of broke up a little bit. I thought you were done there. Tell us about the album, Rotting Empire by 40 Winters.
Rotting Empire. So this is our sophomore album. This is our second official full-length release. We're very, very stoked on it. A year in the making. There's 8 songs, 30 minutes of just blackened metalcore for the masses. So it's definitely a blend of all of our influences. We went to a very modern producer, so it sounds very rich and thick and heavy and loud, and the art is awesome. Bill Hauser from Minnesota did the artwork. He's done stuff for like Gorilla Biscuits, Sick of It All, Ozzy Osbourne, let's see, Cruel Ant Energy. So he's awesome. It's just awesome. We're very happy, and cannot wait to go on tour forever in support of it.
That's awesome. Where are you guys? Are you guys touring the nation, the United States, or how big is your tour going to be?
It's going to be a world tour. We kind of already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We kind of already kind of started, which is, you know, we're kind of bending the rules, but we started. we're on our own terms, you know, so we're like, fuck it. This is our rotting world tour. So we started a few months back. We did Central America, we did South America, and then we did the U.S. And this is obviously before the record came out, but we were playing all the new songs and promoting it and talking about it and letting people know. So that was cool. But yeah, we'll definitely tour the U.S. again. We'll go back to South America. We'll go back to Central America. And there's some stuff in the works that I'm not going to talk about just because I don't want to bite my tongue, you know what I mean? But yeah, we have a lot in the works. So very excited.
That's awesome. But it's also the thing that sucks about kind of touring before the album comes out is you can't have the album available at the shows.
Yes. We were definitely kicking ourselves every single time. But like I said earlier, it was cool. Like a shotgun offer. A lot of the offers were just like, hey, this band dropped. Can you come? We just packed it and left. You know, we were just like, well, wow. Let's go. So,
yeah, it's like the old wrestling cliche, you know, always have your gear with you.
Literally. Yeah, and, you know, it's funny, man. Wrestling and metal are so hand-in-hand, you know, so similar.
Comedy, too, for that matter.
Parallel, though. Yeah, exactly. It's all the same, you know. And I have a profound respect for comedy. Like I could never do that. And people are like, what do you mean? You can't? I don't know, dude. Like, you know, it's like a different ballpark. Like, it's the same. But I would freak out having to, like, be on stage and make people laugh, you know, because it's...
I had somebody approach me at an open mic. It was a music mic, and there was a few comics there. And he was just like, hey, man, you know what? Like, I go up there, you know, I'm in a band, and I go up on stage with a group of people, and I'm behind my guitar, and the focus isn't on me solely. And I just don't know how you do that. I couldn't go up there and with no instrument, just a microphone, and just talk and tell people jokes. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just not talented for men who just can't play music. That's all.
Dude, I'm the same way. I'm like, I can't make people laugh, dude. Like, I mean, I wouldn't know what to do or what to say. You know, I'd like to believe I'm kind of funny, but yeah, I mean, when the pressure's on, and I'll perform, but it's like, it's a trade that I'm not skilled at, so I have a profound respect for comedians.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, that's how I feel about music and about wrestling, you know? It's two amazing things that I love to... they're all three amazing things I love to enjoy, so for the people who do them, I just... kudos to all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody that's out there, man, in a wrestling ring or on a stage, making people laugh or making people cringe, you know, it's all art. It's all beautiful.
So you guys are, like, super, super heavy. You said Slipknot. What are your other influences?
Let's see. I love Slipknot. We like a lot of Napalm Death, Cannibal Corpse, Hatebreed, and Pantera, Misery Index, The Banner. But, yeah, Slipknot is up.
I saw Pantera in concert once.
Head. A lot of the heavy stuff, which is, oof, I wish I could have seen Pantera in concert once. How was that?
It was amazing, man. It was amazing. There's this, I don't know if you've heard of it. I'm sure you've heard of it because you do metal concerts. There's a thing in concerts called the Mosh Pit Ring of Death, where instead of like being a pit, it's like a ring.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah, and I was in that, and I got punched in the face 3 times.
Oh, my God.
And the third time, I said, I'm done. I'm going to go watch the show, and I'm not going to mosh anymore.
Yeah, dude.
And the only other time I've seen that ring, that mosh ring, I went to a Slipknot concert, and it was a Pledge of Allegiance tour, like 2003. And they were talking about some other concert they saw, and they're like, "Yeah, the Ring of Death. I want everybody to do it right now." And Slipknot just initiated it, and it just happened, and it was crazy.
And you're like, oh, "I'm not going in that."
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, that was fun the first time, but I don't think I'm gonna do it again."
Yeah.
I used to love moshing back in my younger days, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, man. That's what I was all about.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was crowd surfing everywhere when I was in my teenage years. Fucking just no care.
No cares in the world, man. No cares in the world.
Forever,
so what's your...
You know, a few years.
What's your... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, what's your single? Your first single off the album.
The first single is Summoning Spirits. It's out now. It's all over the internet, hopefully. We premiered it through landgoat.com, which is a metal and hardcore news source. And, yeah, we have a lyric video for it made by Scott Rudd, who is over in the UK. He does stuff for, like, Fear Factory and Chopper Cowboy, Carnifex.
Wow, Fear Factory is one of my favorites, too.
Very much the same. Yeah, we were pretty convinced. That was like the icing on the cake, because we had a, you know, we've seen some of his stuff, and our producer worked with Scott for all of like the bands that he's done, and even his own bands. And when we went to check him out, we saw that he just did a Fear Factory video, and we were like, yep, that's it. Hit him up, like, done. You know, hey, what's up? So it's awesome.
Did you guys do an actual like a music video?
We do have a music video actually for another song that's going to drop this month actually. So, yeah, we did shoot another video for a different song.
Okay, that's cool.
Music video coming out.
And July 22nd, Rotting Empire, where can people find it?
You can find it online. You can find it on iTunes. You can go to RevHQ.com, which is our distributor. You can go to FYE and Best Buy. And if they don't have it at FYE and Best Buy, all you got to do is request it, and then we'll stock it, and then you got to buy it. And, yeah, it's available everywhere. We'll sell it. We'll have it on the road. Our label, Dead Truth Recordings, has it on their web store right now for pre-order. Yeah, it's available for pre-order right now, actually. So we have package deals. You can buy, like, T-shirts, long sleeves, We have stuff for girls. We have leggings, tote bags. So it's all open and it's ready to go.
Wow, Best Buy, huh? You guys are a pretty big deal.
We just lucked out, man. We just lucked out with a good distribution company. So
nice. My favorite comedian, Mitch Hedberg. I don't know if you've heard of him. He passed away like 10 years ago. He has a joke where he says, you know, my new CD is going to be in stores. The only way I can get my last CD into a store is if I took one there and I left it. They're like, excuse me, sir, you forgot something. No, I did not. That is for sale. Alphabetize it.
We used to do that when we were kids.
Used to make CDs?
We would leave our CDs at, like, record stores and hope that people would. And we did that with flyers, too. When we were playing, like, local shows, we would just drop flyers, you know, and where the CDs are in hopes of, you know, kids coming out.
Oh, yeah, I definitely drop flyers as much as I can, especially if it's a wrestling event.
I love Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, Mitch Hedberg's amazing. Like, I'll go to a WWE, like a WWE show or a house show or Monday Night Raw or whatever the case, and then I'll go to the concession stand and buy a soda and just leave a stack of flyers at the counter.
Genius. That's smart.
Yeah. That's my demographic, man. I got to get them wrestling fans.
Yeah, you definitely do, man. That's smart. I gotta start doing that.
Again, I'm sorry. The single is called, what's that called again?
Summoning Spirits.
Summoning Spirits. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and play Summoning Spirits. I can find it on YouTube and all that good stuff.
Yes.
Awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and play Summoning Spirits. I must warn, it is not for the faint of heart. Definitely not. If you have a heart condition, you might want to skip ahead a couple of minutes. But unless you do, then get ready for Summoning Spirits by 40 Winters. Anything else you want to say about the song before we play it?
I hope you like it. And it's our favorite song off the record, so hopefully everybody likes it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. All right, we'll be right back.
Boom,
welcome back. What's that?
A lot of fun. It's funny. No, go ahead.
Welcome back to the podcast, Pro Wrestling Nation. I am still on the line with Xavier from 40 Winters. Welcome back, Xavier.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Hey, so let's get into some wrestling, shall we?
Let's do it.
So we're getting ready for July. July 1st. By the time you hear this, it'll probably be July 2nd or July 3rd, something like that. But July is the biggest, maybe the biggest month in wrestling since I've been watching it since the 80s, man. We have a million things going on. We have the brand split. We have the draft. We have the Cruiserweight Classic. And there's one more thing that I'm forgetting, I think. But July has so many things going on right now. And I am really, really excited going forward. The first thing I want to get into is the Cruiserweight Classic. Now, I'm going to warn you, the first round has been recorded. It's been taped. If you know any spoilers, I don't want to know any spoilers. I'm trying so hard to avoid spoilers to this thing. I've been, the first night their spoilers were available, I wanted to look at them so bad. I wanted to just go online, I wanted to click on the link, and I just wanted to read the spoilers. But I really, really, really want to see this thing happen. What do you know about the Cruiserweight Classic, and are you excited about it?
I'm so stoked. It's a lot of dudes that, you know, are in the underground that I'm, you know, usually used to seeing. I love Zack Sabre Jr. You know, dudes like Anthony Nese. I would watch wrestle in bars in Tampa, you know, in Orlando. Super humble. Cedric Alexander. Awesome. It's a good lineup, man. It's a chance for the underground to shine. I think it's going to change. It's going to change the course of wrestling, man. Like you said, like this July, there's so much going on with like the brand split and, you know, the Cruiserweight Classic. I think a lot of dudes are going to get picked up and a lot of dudes are going to get exposure that they probably wouldn't have had without, you know, Triple H and, you know, WWE. So it's going to be really, really exciting. I'm really stoked.
Yeah, so am I. You're right, though. There's a lot of guys that are going to get these exposure that wouldn't normally get it. And there's also going to be, you know, I'm predicting there's going to be, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys that gets signed out of this whole entire thing. Maybe Kota Ibushi, maybe Zack Sabre Jr., maybe Cedric Alexander. The potential for these guys to just come on, make a huge impact on the network, the WWE Network, and then show up in NXT is just amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I'm so happy for all those dudes.
Not to mention, we have Daniel Bryan and Mauro Ranallo on commentary.
Yes. Which is gold. It's money.
Last week they did an introduction show. Did you see that?
Yeah, like a 15-minute thing on YouTube where they showed everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They introduced everybody to it. Yeah, I'm really excited. They had a lot of cool people. And I think guys like Brian Kendrick and Tajiri are going to be really, really cool to see.
It's going to be awesome, man. Kendrick's awesome. You know, he's definitely, I like his way of thinking, you know, outside of the ring. A lot of the stuff he says and talks about, I agree with. And he's a great wrestler. And
yeah, and he's a huge stoner.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm getting.
I don't know how he has a job there and doesn't get drug tested, but whatever. I'm for it. A couple weeks ago, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but a couple weeks ago, I interviewed a wrestling promoter in China. And he gave me a little bit of insight on these guys that are coming to America. They signed this guy named Wong Bing. And there's another guy named Ho Ho Loon. Ho Ho Loon is in the Cruiserweight Classic. He's coming in. He's representing Hong Kong. And I did not know anything about Ho Ho Loon. But I've been looking into him a little bit, checking him out, checking out some of his stuff on YouTube. This guy is so cocky. He comes out, he calls himself the Cool Star. And he comes out wearing a t-shirt that says, I am cool. And, in Japan culture, man, I was looking at videos of this guy. This guy is super cool, and he's cocky, and he's one of my new favorite guys, so I really hope he does well in this thing.
Damn, yeah, I remember seeing his introduction, and I was like, damn, this guy's crazy. So I'll be tuning in, man, and I'm with you. I'm not reading spoilers. I'm gonna take it easy on this one.
Usually I'm into spoilers, you know, I'll read SmackDown spoilers, I'll read NXT spoilers once in a while, but I'm really trying hard not to read these Cruiserweight Classic spoilers.
Yeah, I'll be watching. That's like, I'm the same way. I'll read the SmackDown and NXT stuff, especially if I'm not going to watch it and don't plan on watching it, but the CWC, I'm going to be all in, so.
And then also, I mentioned before we got into the Cruiserweight Classic that there's three things that are big happening in July. The Cruiserweight Classic, the brand split slash the draft, and then the third thing I couldn't remember, and I just remembered. And it's a reason why I stayed away from the NXT spoilers this time around, because in 2 weeks, we're going to see Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura on NXT.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing, man.
Yeah.
Those two guys are going to go out there. You know, we've seen Shinsuke and Sami Zayn. We've seen Shinsuke and Austin Aries. But I feel like Shinsuke and Finn Balor is going to just take it to a level that we've never seen before.
Yeah, I agree. You can't write that. You can't. That chemistry, you know, that's just natural chemistry. And, you know, they spent a lot of time together in the dojo out there with, you know, with New Japan. So they're friends first off. So it's, you know, it's going to be good, man. It's going to be awesome.
Did you just say you can't teach that?
Yeah, I didn't mean to, though. I felt like I just felt like Enzo. But yeah, I didn't, you know, but it's
you
true,
can't
man.
Teach that. These guys have amazing chemistry and you can't teach that. It's true. You definitely can't. Yeah, do you feel like this match is going to be a legitimate match, or do you feel like there's going to be some shenanigans and it's going to lead to the main event of TakeOver Brooklyn? Like, for example, Samoa Joe comes out and just lays them both out, and then William Regal comes out and is like, that's it, TakeOver Brooklyn, it's going to be a triple threat match.
Yeah. I think they'll have a slow build. I don't think it's going to be a one-off, especially because they're going to do so well together. And, I mean, dude, the Joe Balor, you know, feud has been dragged on forever. But it's good. It's good TV, and they work well together. So, yeah, I'm for sure expecting some type of finish that's going to leave us, you know, wanting more. So, yeah, I see it going down like that.
Also, take this into consideration. Okay, this match is happening in 2 weeks. The WWE draft is in 3 weeks. So what happens if they have this match and maybe Shinsuke wins and it's 1-2-3, it's a clean win, and we're like, oh, my God, that was so cool. And then a week later, Finn Balor is eligible for the draft, and Shinsuke Nakamura isn't, and they split up for a couple of years.
Yeah, it could go down that way. I mean, the sheets are saying that, you know, they're going to put the belt on Nakamura, like the NXT title, and you know, they're going to let him kind of shine a little bit, and then bring him up, and I'm, you know, I think Balor's been way overdue for a call-up, so yeah, it could go down like that. It's unpredictable, and I guess that's what keeps us on our, you know, on the edge of our seat. We never know.
You know, one thing wrestling has been missing lately, the past decade plus, is unpredictability. And I feel like right now, especially going into July, we have so many questions, and, you know, we haven't even dug into the beginning of it, you know, a little bit of it yet, because we still have the whole draft to dive into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how is that going to affect SummerSlam, you know?
Right, definitely. I mean, how's it going to affect Battleground? Battleground is the week after the draft. They're booking matches for it. So, I mean, maybe, you know, we're going to have some last time matchups. Like, they booked Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens at Battleground, hoping that, or I guess not hoping, but, telling us this will be the last time these guys ever fight each other. You know, the AJ Styles and John Cena could go their separate ways. The Shield guys can split up. Another reason why I was thinking why they're rushing this Shield triple threat match is because they could be splitting up after this too.
Yeah. And it's definitely been in their back pocket, man. I mean, have you seen the NXT Triple Threat when it was them, like, way... I think it was CW, actually, where it was Rollins, Reigns, and Ambrose in a Triple Threat.
No, I didn't even know that match existed.
Yeah. It's on YouTube, man. Go ahead and check that out. But once I saw that, it's magic, you know? Like, they work very well together. But, yeah.
Yeah, no, they do. I mean, just on the one-on-one matches that they've done together, they work really, really well together. You know, I mean, think about this. Rollins won his WWE Championship from Reigns. He pinned Reigns. Reigns pinned Ambrose to win the title. Ambrose pinned Rollins to win the title. So, I mean, all the world titles these guys have won, they've beaten each other for him.
Exactly. Yeah, see?
And so these guys, it's crazy how, you know, in 2011 when I'm just like going, oh, man, you know, Jon Moxley and Tyler Black are going to be on the main roster soon. I can't wait. And now these guys are the top superstars in the company. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's very crazy. I said the same thing when Ambrose won the belt. I was like, damn, dude, times have changed. And it's awesome. But, yeah, I never thought I'd be in that I never even thought Rollins would, you know, go over so hard as he did, but he's awesome.
I know. I thought Rollins was going to be Justin Gabriel of the group.
Yeah, you know, because he's
kind of high-flying, nice guy that gets forgotten about.
Yeah, I never thought Rollins would be the one to shine, but, you know, and even in his early Shield, you know, promos, like, he was very shaky, like, not super confident with, like, his words and yada yada, but, dude, again, when the pressure's on, man, he delivers. Like, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's come a long way.
Yeah, he's awesome.
What else was going on? Oh, so Roman Reigns has been suspended. What are your thoughts on that?
I was so happy. I'm sorry. I just I was like, yes, dude. I don't care for Roman Reigns. I just don't care. I just don't. I'm sorry. People are going to hate me, but I just don't care. So I was like, yeah, good. Go home. Sorry. Go home, man. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, how would you feel then if Roman Reigns sits at home for 30 days while Ambrose and Rollins build the match, and then he comes back and he wins the belt?
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be like, oh, okay, great, you know. But it'll be good, I guess. It'll be entertaining. But, hopefully they milk it a little bit. But I was reading today, again, the sheets, how they were like, oh, it's going to be like a redemption gimmick. Or he comes back all bummed out about, like, letting people down and da-da-da-da-da. But it's like, dude.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. So.
They've already kind of began that with the whole Rollins going, oh, Roman's embarrassed me. I brought him here, and he did this to me.
Yeah, which could be half true. Not, like, you know, literally, but it's like, dude.
Oh, and this is also, speaking of the Shield guys, I got kind of...
They're literally... Go ahead, finish that.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, they're pushing you to be the face of the company, and I don't think they've announced yet what he got suspended for, but, I mean, dude, he got suspended. So it's like you let the entire company down, the entire locker room. I mean, it is what it is, man. You know?
Yeah, I heard online, I mean, it's not official or anything, but I did hear that it was Fat Burners that got him popped.
Ooh. Which isn't surprising. You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Which is over-the-counter stuff, kind of legal.
I mean, you know, there's things that can slide in the wellness program, and there's stuff that, you know, doesn't, but it is what it is.
So I don't know if you know this little fact or not, but Dean Ambrose is the first man in professional wrestling history to hold the WWE Championship and the CZW Championship.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
He's the only former CZW champion to become WWE champion.
Wow.
Yeah, that's you know, way to go for them, you know.
That's a big deal. That's a huge feat.
Yeah, that is a huge deal.
Yeah, CZW is awesome.
I don't really get into them because they're not in my area. I don't really watch them. I don't really have access to them. I try to follow them online a little bit, you know. I did follow John Moxley when he was on the Indies just because he was making up so much noise, and he was just like, you know, his name was everywhere on the Indies. But I didn't really watch him much. But it's good to have a former champion of them kind of representing the world right now.
Yeah, it's a good change too. It's a good change of pace, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get into the brand split a little bit. Do you see, I guess the first thing is, do you see the brand split working? Because they did it before and it didn't work really well.
I mean, it didn't work for the most part the first time. Will it save them? Maybe, but I don't know, because it's super hot and cold. If you have two champions, you know, that's more TV time for this guy and that guy. More opportunities as far, you know, if they do, like, the dual tag team titles, like, for SmackDown and Raw, it might give people more TV time, but it might be harder for the everyday, you know, or casual fan, I should say, to, like, tune in. Because for me, it's hard enough to watch SmackDown and Raw. Like, I'll catch Raw because, you know, it's Raw, but... It's going to be super 50-50, man. I think it'll be fresh the first few weeks / month, but, you know, I don't foresee it being forever.
Here's a couple of factors that's kind of making me think that they're going to do well with it. For one, They're on USA Network. Both shows are on USA Network. So the network won't be pressuring them to make Raw the better show like they were in the past. Because, you know, SmackDown was on UPN or whatever, and USA Network was like all of Vince's ass going, hey, make our show better, make our show better. Also, Vince McMahon doesn't like spoilers. And with SmackDown going live every single Tuesday now, we're not going to have spoilers. So just for those two reasons alone, I feel like it'll be easier for them to be disciplined with it and stick to their guns a little more.
Yeah, that's true. It could work out that way. I'm hoping for the best. It will be cool to have all the fresh faces. I know there'll be like a plethora of NXT call-ups, which will be cool. A lot of those dudes and girls deserve it. Yeah, a lot of people deserve TV time, man. A lot of people deserve some time. So I think it'll be cool seeing that.
And if, Kevin Owens is only shown once a week and Dean Ambrose is only shown once a week on TV, I feel like there's more time for other people to be showcased.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree. It could be better, you know? It could be better as opposed to having these dudes. Because SmackDown's like such like a not a throwaway show, but, you know, it's...
It is right now.
As of right now it is. It's a two-hour, you know, thing, and there's, you know, your six-man tag, yada, yada, yada. So it will be cool watching them build up. You know, when it was like Kurt Angle headlining SmackDown, and this was in the early 2000s, and Paul Heyman was writing everything for SmackDown. It was awesome. It was awesome. So... Hopefully they can kind of get back into that and capitalize on the draft. It's fresh for right.
They had the SmackDown 6, and that was an amazing time in SmackDown. It was like Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho and Edge. Chavo, I think, and Edge, and it was amazing, man. I hope they can get back to those days.
Yeah, it was really good TV back then, man. Really good stuff.
Who do you see from NXT getting called up?
Balor, Bayley, who else?
You going alphabetical?
No. I'm just thinking of, like, the top stars, you know. Definitely Balor, definitely Bayley. Bayley's way overdue, you know. I think American Alpha will get called up. Those dudes are phenomenal. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal wrestlers. I can see, like, Dash and Dawson getting called up. I think the tag team division will have a quote-unquote revival, you know, so I see those dudes getting called up. I'm getting a brain fart. I can't really think of who else is in NXT right now.
You know, I'm hearing rumors that, like...
Either Joe or Balor, depending on...
Yeah. I think out of the two, it would be Balor, because he's been there longer, he's younger, he deserves more, and he's just more exciting to watch, you know. I mean, don't take anything from Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe's amazing, but I think... if you're looking at the two going, one of these guys has to go up, I think it's Finn Balor.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it'd be cool. Where does it
go? It'd be really cool.
Where does it go from there? I don't know, but it would be cool.
NXT has a whole bunch of people that are on house shows and that are not on NXT television that are ready to go. And I feel like, you know, bring up half the roster, man. Bring up Bayley, bring up Asuka, bring up Joe, bring up, you know, Balor, American Alpha, like half the roster, and then just replenish it. You know, they have the No Way Jose's, they have the Hugo Knox, they have TM61, they have Nikki Storm, who they just signed, they have Athena Reese, who they just signed, and they have all kinds of people who can go and who can fill the spots, and they have Austin Aries down there, they have Bobby Roode down there, they could bring back Eric Young, and I'm sure TNA's going out of business soon, they could bring back James Storm. You know, I feel like it's a golden opportunity for NXT, quote-unquote, the end, to end as we know it and kind of have a rebirth.
Yeah, I foresaw that. Like, with the whole end thing, I was like, oh, shit, everything's going to change. Like, you know, this is the end of NXT, like, as we know it, kind of. But, yeah. You know,
what do you feel about...
The sheets are talking about how, like, aggressive they're getting with people.
Yeah, they are getting aggressive, going after old people. They're going after the Shelton Benjamin and the Goldbergs and Carlitos, and it's like, this is a new era. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, there's a little bit of backwards thinking, but it's WWE, so I'm not surprised. But, you know, they are hunting down the younger dudes, and there's a bunch of talks about them, like, kind of seeking Lucha Underground talent, which I'm not, again, not surprised at. But we'll see how it all works out. But it could be...
Speaking of Lucha Underground, let's go on a sidetrack real quick. There's been rumors that Ricochet, a.k.a. Prince Puma, has turned down a $300,000 contract extension with Lucha Underground. Did you hear about this?
Damn, I didn't. I read that, but I didn't read numbers. But I did read that he turned down a lucrative deal.
There was rumored that they were offering him $300,000 a season. And he said, no, thank you. He has to wait until, because they finished filming season 3. But season 2 hasn't ended yet on TV. And so he has to wait until season 3 ends airing. So probably a year from now, he'll be able to go to NXT or whatever else he wants to do in the future.
Yeah, it's brutal, man. Ricochet's like, you know, before he got picked up by Lucha, he was literally my favorite, you know, indie wrestler. I would see him again whenever Evolve would, and you know, Dragon Gate at the time would come down to Tampa and Orlando. I would always go, you know, with a group of my friends, and you know, I've met Rick Day, I've met UHA Nation, you know, now Apollo Crews, Anthony Nice. Like, I've met all these dudes, and you know, Ricochet and you know, Roddy Strong, like, all these dudes are just phenomenal, you know. And Ricochet, great dude in and out of the ring. I always saw him getting picked up. You know, I think he had like a few tryouts and they didn't take him or they didn't need him at the time. And, you know, he kind of bit the bullet and signed the Lucha contract. And that's a very, like, you're tied down, you know, but I think he'll shine, you know, if they let him. So it's good for him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he'll shine too. I heard that Triple H told him, we have too many guys that do what you do, so no thanks. But, I mean, who knows what happened.
Yeah. One of my best friends said, like, literally, they told him, like, they have enough, like, Evan Bournes or something. Like, they have enough high flyers, and, you know. And, hey, man. So, and it's funny because now he's, you know, IWGP Tag Team Champion with Matt Sydal out in Japan. So, hey, man, it's weird how shit works out, but...
it really is.
WWE is the mecca. That's where you got to go to be a star. So,
and it's crazy because he is turning down a huge contract. And so the rumor was that Lucha Underground itself wasn't going to pay him. It was going to be El Rey, which is owned by you know, Robert Rodriguez, and they got money. So WWE must have offered him something pretty lucrative. I mean, I wouldn't say hundreds of thousands of dollars, but he must expect to go there and to make a lot more money in the long run than he would. Because if you think about it, okay, he's going to make $300,000 for working season 4 of Lucha Underground, right? Then the season ends, and then he goes to PWG, he goes to Evolve, he goes to New Japan. We're talking another $100,000 just working the indies. And so that's $400,000 a year. And so in order to beat that price, WWE has to offer him somewhere like $500,000.
Probably. Or it's just the kid in him is going
to... Or right, or he wants his WrestleMania moment, and he feels that even if he goes to WWE and he flops, then his name is worth more later on.
I agree. And if that's the case, I have so much more respect for the dude. And like I said, I've met him. I've, you know, told him how much I, like, appreciate his work. You know, I saw him in PWG, like, you know, on DVDs, like, years and years and years ago, and I just... phenomenal talent, man. So smooth. Like, I've just never seen anything like that. And, you know, it's a pride thing. Like, so if he's taking less money to go to WWE, more power to you, man. And, I mean, it's WWE, so I'm sure he would rather take a pay cut. I mean, I think the developmental dudes start at, like, less than half of three. Like, I'm sure they start.
Less oh, yeah, than I'm sure they do, too. I'm sure they start, like, less than 100.
Yeah, if that, you know. So for me, it's a pride thing. So if,
and especially
going for less money, like, more power to you. But I obviously, go ahead.
Oh, especially you know, I'm sure his entire career, everybody's told him, you're not going to make it to WWE. You're not going to make it to WWE. I mean, much like Kevin Owens, I'm sure Kevin Owens could have made a lot more money not signing with the WWE. But it's one of those things where if everybody tells you that you're not going to make it, and then you go, and now Kevin Owens is like the number 3 heel in the entire company. Like, Kevin Owens is a big deal now. And his entire career, people told me he couldn't do it, and now look where he is. And I'm sure Ricochet could do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Owens, he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal in the ring. He's phenomenal on the mic. He's, yeah, one of the best heels. He's a good worker. He's a family man. He doesn't party. So he's a class act, man. He's great.
And he's phenomenal on commentary.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a professional wrestler that good on commentary since CM Punk.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that, actually. Yeah. He's smooth, man. Like, he's so articulate with his words. Like, he's so cocky and, like, arrogant. But, and he can back it up in the ring. And he's just smooth. He's awesome. He's very, very awesome.
Yeah, and I like when he yells at Michael Cole, when, like, when he's in the ring, he's like, shut up, Michael Cole, I can hear you from here.
Yeah.
Even though that's going to make him a babyface.
It'd be weird to see a Kevin Owens babyface, but I'm sure he can knock it out of the park. But yeah, he's a phenomenal talent.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get back to the brand split, and I got a couple more topics, and we'll get out of here. Who do you think is going to fill out the roster? Like, do you think Roman's going to be eligible for the draft? Like, what do you think they'll do? Because they you saw Raw, I'm sure. They came out and they addressed it. Oh, Roman made a mistake, and he's an embarrassment to the company, and blah, blah, blah. I did not think they would address it at all, but they did. I was surprised.
Yeah, I didn't think they would talk about it. I think at the same time, they had no choice, because they were pushing him to be, like, the face of the company. So when the face of the company gets suspended for a drug violation, I don't care what it is, it's a drug violation. A lot of mainstream media, it was a big deal. So I think they had no choice. Like, they're like, oh shit, we got to talk about it. But yeah, Rollins sold it. You know, he cut a good promo, and, you know, get to the back of the line, just like you said. I mean, from the beginning, get to the back of the line. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Ambrose got the pin on Rollins. So Rollins would get the rematch clause, not Reigns. Because Reigns, you know what I mean? Like, that's technically, there were two pinfalls.
You're right. Technically, Roman Reigns should get a rematch against Seth, and since Seth isn't the champion, it's a non-title match.
Yeah, and if that's the case, yeah, go for it. But I think...
go for it.
Get to the back of the line, Roman. You know? That's
yeah, because technically, in that whole scenario, the way Money in the Bank turned out, Roman had no claim on Dean Ambrose.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because, dude, he lost to Seth. And then Seth lost it to Ambrose. So Rollins deserves the rematch clause and Reigns to the back of the line. Maybe it's Vince being crazy and wanting his way, but it just doesn't work. You know, it's just awkward. Roman Reigns makes me uncomfortable. Let's just say that.
Yeah, yeah. That's
you know?
A good way to put it.
Sorry,
Do you think AJ and John Cena are both going to be on SmackDown? I think they're going to split them up.
That's a good question. I see the Sheets are talking about Cena going to SmackDown and, you know, plumping that show up. I hope for the best for AJ. He's not the youngest dude, but he's amazing. He's a family man. He's literally phenomenal. To be in your early 40s and still taking bumps like that and still, you know.
Hey, he's 39.
Is he 39?
I think so.
But either way, dude, you know, he's not the youngest guy, but he still goes in there like he's in his 20s. So I hope
yeah, he does.
I hope they don't waste his contract. I want to see some gold on him. I want to see some gold on the club. That'd be cool. A little takeover, you know. But, yeah, it's a good question. I don't know where they'll throw AJ. I just really hope they put him somewhere solid and they give him something, you know, worthwhile.
There's rumors that the reason why they were teasing AJ Styles and John Cena being added to the match at Battleground, the triple threat match, is because they may end up having a match one-on-one for the SmackDown title, which would be really cool, too.
Yeah. I would be in the SmackDown, you know, champion, like the world, you know, champion.
I would love to see AJ being the world champion on SmackDown.
Yeah, I would too. I'm a huge AJ Styles mark. So for me.
Me too. Hey, you know what? If there's one wrestling person in the world, current wrestler that I would mark out for, it's AJ Styles.
Yes.
When he, I was expecting him to be in the Rumble 20 days before he showed up, because they did the show on January 4th, Wrestle Kingdom, and on January 5th he announced he was leaving New Japan. And at that moment, I'm like, AJ is gonna be in the Rumble. And I was sitting down with my family watching the thing, and as soon as that music hit, I'm like, oh, this is weird. I didn't even think of AJ. I'm just like, oh, this music, who is this? I wonder who this is. And then he walks out, and I was a five-year-old. I was like, holy shit. I ran closer to the TV, and I sat there, and I was so excited to see him.
Dude, I was there live.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was in
Orlando.
Wow.
So you got to see I Am Phenomenal on the screen before he came out.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The way we were positioned, our first seats were brutal. So, you know, my best friend is the worst. So he's like, I'm going to go complain. So he complains, and we pretty much got like a skybox. And it was awesome, but the view was kind of skewed. So we couldn't see the Titantron because we were, let's say we were right in front of the ring. So we didn't see Tron, and we couldn't see the center. It's hard to explain. Like, right above the ring, there's screens.
Yeah, the screens above the ring, yeah.
Right, but the way we were, it was lighting in front of the screen. So like you said, when the music hits, we're like, who's this? And all we saw was I Am. We couldn't see Phenomenal.
And that place erupted, huh?
I Am, and I was like, who is this? I don't know why, but dude, and it went nuts. And I was like, is this Austin Aries? Like, that was my first, I don't know why. That was just my first, I was like, is this Austin Aries? And when they ripped it, and then you see AJ Styles come out, we lost it, dude, lost it. And, man, that was match. Like, that was special. It was
That was special. I agree, man. That was a good moment.
Yeah, it was, to be there live.
Oh, I bet. To me, in my heart, like, AJ Styles walking out at the Royal Rumble is up there with Hulk Hogan dropping the leg on Randy Savage and being the third man.
Yeah, it was big, man. It was fucking AJ Styles, you know?
Yeah. All right, so I have one last topic I want to talk to you about. This may kind of catch you off guard here, though. What do you think of this little theory? I've kind of been mulling it over in my head, and I haven't been able to put it into words, but I read somebody on Facebook, somebody put it out there, and I'm like, that's kind of what I was thinking here. So Triple H approaches Cody Rhodes and says to him, you know what? I know that you want to be better. I know you want to do better. This is what we're going to do. We're going to release you. You're going to go to the Indies. You're going to be mad at us. For one, you're going to be pretending like you're so mad at us. You're going to go to the Indies. You're going to work some matches. You're going to get some indie cred. You're going to get some support from the hardcore fans. You're going to get rid of the Stardust stink. And then in September, we're going to bring you back.
Yeah, I read that today. And that's like a bombshell. Because as wrestling fans, obviously we are conditioned to think that everything's a work. Like, even in normal life, I'm like, oh, it's a work. Or it's a shoot, you know? Like, who knows? But it does kind of make sense, especially how they panned it out with, like, how do you think he went to Evolve first? Like, it's WWE.
Right, he went to Evolve first. He hasn't touched Ring of Honor, TNA, or New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he has no bookings past October.
Yeah, you know, I'm the dude of our friends who are like, it's a work. And all my friends are like, dude, not everything in life is a work. But as a wrestling fan, a lifelong wrestling fan, everything's a work. Everything's a work. So for me, I could see it being real. But at the same time, dude, he was doing the Stardust gimmick for so long. And we all know he hated it. I hated it. It was brutal. It was just not. I like the Cody Rhodes, A, with the face mask, like the dashing Intercontinental Champion. And then when he was about to, like, to win the Money in the Bank, when Sandow won it, you remember that?
Yeah.
A few years ago. And he, dude, his pop, he was over. And it took it away from him. So for me, I love Cody Rhodes. I hope the best for him, but I could see it being real, to be honest with you. I could see it being at work.
I could totally see it being at work. I feel like if he just, like, came out, just out of nowhere, just, like, on the pay-per-view, not a champions or whatever it is in September, October, something like that, and he just walks out to the ring and attacks somebody or something, it would be a great pop for him.
Yeah, I think they'd be happy to see him come back.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. I hope it is, man, because Cody Rhodes, like, the Stardust character, like you said, he's been in for so long and it was kind of getting stale. And you don't just he was so entrenched in the character, you don't just switch back. And if there's a true transition, this is it, man.
It's genius. It really is genius, you know?
He gets the work rate credibility. He's going to go out there. He's going to have matches with Chris Hero, with the Young Bucks. I don't know who else. Kurt Angle. He's booked against Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's going to be amazing, man. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to bring a lot of
I hope that... I hope that Cody Rhodes does come back soon, and I hope that he, because, I mean, think about how much his family and the WWE, like his family is important to the WWE, and for them just to cast him aside and go, whatever, you're just a character, and we're just going to ignore you, I feel like that's not the case, man. I feel like they can't do that, and they wouldn't do that to somebody like Cody. You know, maybe like Hardcore Holly or like Neville or somebody like that, but... not to Cody, man. I don't think that they're going to do Cody dirty like that. And, you know, Cody is a true worker. He's one of the last true workers of the business. And I feel like if anybody could pull it off, it's him.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, yeah, it's the lineage. They wouldn't just let him peace out, you know. And I think the Brotherhood, like, when, you know, they were saying how Goldust was missing from some of the tapings when this was all like kind of going down. Like, I think if that was really the case, he would probably split too. You know, if it was like a real family thing, he would split. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Might be
but
weird.
The thing that,
I guess we'll find out,
the thing right? that catches me that I find kind of weird though, is that his wife left the company too. You know, what are you going to do? Bring them both back?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, unless, you know, she's a girl, like, you know, and it's not like
well,
a sexist thing, but it's like, you know, the road life is not
sound
the
like
easiest,
that.
And I'm sure, you know, it's going to sound like that. Sorry. No, but, you know, it is what it is. Like, it's the tour life, and...
I mean, she's a ring announcer. You know, maybe she did find a better job.
Yeah,
she's a ring announcer. And then, who knows, in 5 or 6 years, JoJo's going to grow up into be Eden anyways.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all these girls, they're all talented, they all have their thing, and I'm pretty sure Eden was a model beforehand, so, you know, she's been in the limelight forever. So, for me, who knows, maybe she needed a break, maybe she wanted a break, or maybe it's just part of the work, you know, but we'll find out.
We will definitely find out. We'll definitely find out. Well, thank you very much, Xavier, for hanging out with me. It's been a good time talking some wrestling and talking some music and stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Sam. I really appreciate you giving me the platform, you know.
Yeah, no problem, man. It's always fun talking to you, talking wrestling and talking, you know, music and everything with you.
Absolutely.
You kind of broke up a little bit, so I did talk over you a little bit. So, you know, we'll figure it out. It'll be good.
We'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Before you leave, go ahead and plug some social media.
A good time.
Yeah, definitely. Before you leave, go ahead and plug some social media where you can be found, where your band can be found, and if you got some tour dates you want to plug or anything like that.
Awesome. So 40 Winters has a new record, Rotting Empire, in stores July 22nd. It's available for pre-order right now. DetrithRecordings.BigCartel.com. You can pick it up with some shirts or some stuff. Our new single is live now. It's on YouTube, Lambgoat, MetalSets.com, wherever you want to find it. Facebook.com/40winners, spelled out. Find us. Come hang out with us. We will be doing CD release shows in Florida in July, in South Florida and Orlando, July 29th and July 30th. And, again, thank you so much for having us and for playing the single. We appreciate it.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Look forward to the next hangout.
Definitely. Hopefully you come back to the Bay Area again and play some music.
Absolutely. I will definitely get you on the VIP list, and we will hang out and drink some beers.
Sounds like a plan. Before we go, I just want to plug my social media real quick, at PWM Podcast. Go ahead and follow me there, facebook.com/PWM Podcast. And that's about it. So, yeah, just go ahead and check out the band, check out 40 Winters, and I'll talk to you soon, Xavier.
Awesome. Thanks again, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you. Peace out.
Later.